The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Keep your mind, your mission, and your mind, and happy Halloween to Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We do this show every single week, bite by bite, right after it, more explicitly entertaining it towards the Feeding America forum, if you want the platform of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. First of all, I hope you're doing well. You're doing great. You and I speak for a few minutes, so we don't have to do pleasantries before we do the show. I know that you look good. You look a little tired because you've been doing a crap ton of interviews because everyone in the world wants to know, how are you dealing with the federal shutdown and the SNAP program? Can you kind of just give us a roundabout situation, where you're at, what we're looking like, when things start to run out, and what you need?
Yeah, big picture. With every situation that happens, And this is what I would call, we're treating it like a disaster, okay. Response. And we're thinking it through from that perspective about how do we address, you know, what's the need? How do we get the material, in this case, food? How do we get it to the people in need most directly? How do we communicate effectively across the community? All of those things. And anytime when something happens, it's just a great thing about Americans. Maybe other cultures have some of this as well, but I think it's rooted in our Christian foundation, which is the idea of, you know, when people are suffering or people are going through tough times, you know, what can I do to impact? And so we've had people step up in really big ways, and doing all they can. Sometimes all somebody can do is say, look, I can't help you get more money, but, you know, I have afternoons or evenings for whatever. I can come volunteer. Companies reaching out saying, hey, we don't know what to do. We just want to help. Mm-hmm. You know, tell us what we can do. We've had a couple really unexpected donations, and that's very helpful because we do have to front load. So we kind of space out how much food we think we're going to have to purchase. And only about 10% of our food is purchased. Okay. But when you're talking about, you know, you're talking about distributing 33.5 million pounds that we did last year, you know, you get into 10%, that's incredibly costly. So we have it kind of spaced out because we know where the gaps are and what we have to do and kind of what we're looking at. And then you have SNAP go away, and then all of a sudden we're having to fill in the gap for something we're simply not equipped.
Yeah, and
we can't cover all of what's missing.
Before you move on to it, I want to get too deep on this. And I know you're a numbers guy, and you're an open book. You can go to the site and see everything you guys do. Do you have an idea, general idea, based on the percentage of government workers who are no longer working or no longer making any money, and know how that will be? Can you look at the last government shutdown and kind of tell what you're in for? Or is this basically you sit back and you're kind of waiting for the storm?
Yeah, so that's the whole. So there's a couple of things happening. So the federal workers who are being required to work, but aren't getting paid. So, you know, it's a month of that. Now, typically, not all, but a significant portion of federal workers typically have some savings or something to fall back on, or maybe have a spouse that's has a job, whatever. So, yeah, you miss one paycheck. It's not great, but it doesn't kill you. You start to miss two, three, whatever. And now you're like, man, I need some help. I don't have money to pay the mortgage. I don't have money to pay the electric bill, on and on and on. And so they'll start reaching out to the food banks. And that time is happening right now. Mm-hmm. But although it's been 30 days since, you know, they've been trying to cover their own expenses for the most part. The SNAP population is really vastly different than that. They're on SNAP typically because they don't have resources to fall back on. And they are people who have large SNAP benefits, usually because of multiple children or whatever. You know, lots of times they're hanging on to the new SNAP, you know, so they're already struggling usually a couple of days prior to that. Yeah. And then they and then when that's not going to hit, then it's like, you know, the bottom falls out. And so we go from, yeah, there's some federal workers and that we might have to go out and of course we're right here with Maxwell Air Force Base here in Montgomery. So we've helped some families, we've helped some military families. We already have a military program connection, but then, so we've been able to cover that, and it's kind of given us some, we're kind of leaning forward, as the old saying we used to have in the Army about leaning forward in the foxhole, which you don't just fox, you know, you're leaning forward. You've got your gun up and you're ready. It's preparation. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to lean forward into this issue. And so we have, but when you talk about millions of dollars of SNAP not going out.
Yeah.
And the effect it's going to have, not just on Alabamians in our area, but, you know, across the nation, it's a significant problem. One in which we're not going to be able to put a large dent in. We have front loaded a lot of the food orders. And so we'll go ahead and get those in. We're preparing special boxes. We're trying to communicate with 211. So when people are in need, they reach out to 211 and say, "Hey, I need food. Where do I go?" We're thinking about a lot of our agencies out there, just because they're a pantry. We say, "Well, we try to get them more food." Well, it's not that simple. Number one, they may not have the funds to be able to get more food. Mm-hmm. Even if they did, lots of times it's a space issue. They don't have the space to stock. And especially if you get outside of the shelf stable food, you're talking, there's all sorts of safety things about frozen and then refrigerated items and how long they can be out.
You don't even think about that when you're doing these, we used to do food drives all the time, and you have an 18 wheeler back up and you do it, and we didn't know where it was going. You know, we're shipping off. We were working with Habitat for Humanity, whatever it was. But yep. that's true, and I'm actually Shepherd of the Hills, which is a church that I work with here in town. They have a food program, and it's for people in their parish. But if you want to come in off the street, the door's open. You can come in, and it's like a little store. And people just walk in, they'll get some SpaghettiOs and be on their way. Now there's not fresh fruit. There's not all these things. And so I've asked her, I said, if I can help out in any way, she's like, "I don't want your help." Cause she's like, I'm afraid you'll help because she goes, "All I have is this room. I have this 8x10 foot room." But that's a great point that I don't think people think about. Like, all of a sudden, if they do come, where are you going to put it? You know what? You have to find a place to put all this stuff.
Right. So, you know, so we're doing everything we can to empower our agencies to be able to meet this need, to get the communications to the public. But you and I were talking earlier about, for lack of a better term, is the whole, what's the politics behind all of the SNAP? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to kind of reveal how I feel about this issue. The truth is, I see it on the ground all the time. You know, we hear stories about abuse of SNAP, and we know that happens. I'll give you a good example. I have an employee, and I'm a big second chance guy. And so there's a guy, I won't mention his name, was in the prison system. He was coming here as an inmate and working and was getting out and absolutely had nobody on the outside. What relationships he did have were very destructive in nature. Mm-hmm. He did have, you know, a baby mama with about four kids.
Damn.
So he gets out, really still nowhere to live. But we tell him, "Hey, if you do well as an inmate, I don't care about education, what you I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a chance." So we did. We transitioned. And he's done pretty well. He's had some growing spells. But anyway, he came to us and said, you know, that they're not together and that she gets $1,000 a month in food stamps. But she's in active addiction and the kids are actually living with her mother.
Yeah.
Well, she takes those $1,000 a month in food stamps and parlays them into $600 cash, which is very common, and then spends it on whatever. And the truth of the matter is that's not, I think people would be amazed at how often that happens. When I think about that process and the abuse of that system, I get less angry if I thought, okay, you're taking $1,000 of food stamps. You're not using them for what it's designed for. That's unlawful. It's all those things. But let's take all the legal aspects aside. I'm just looking at it from a humanity point of view. If you were to say, hey, I've got these other bills that are essential. So if I turned it into $600 and you took that $600 and you put it on an electric bill and you put it on gas payment to get back and forth to work and you were using it for that kind of stuff, I'm not going to say it's still not right, but I would have less heartburn than if you took that, get $600 cash and obviously using it for drugs. But if you're getting your hair and nails done or other things that people use it for, and I think that's what lots of times when we tend to look at that and we know that's happening behind the scenes, the whole question is, okay, well, how do you address it? Can you address it effectively? Well, I think at least by what is stated, that was the Republicans' position in the Big Beautiful Bill, that they were cutting back on the food stamps because
of this. Yeah.
Well, in part, and they also said because some states were using SNAP benefits to go to illegal aliens and that kind of stuff. And so all of that is, I think all that's true. I think it's documented. I think it's proven. I cannot begin to tell you how common it is for people to sell their food stamps for funds. Now, here's, though, is where I had the real emotional struggle with this, is there are people, there are seniors, there are children that who are doing everything they can. And, you know, they may be working and they may be getting much less in food stamps, but let's say $200, $250 a month. These people they're doing everything they can. Maybe a single mother with a couple of kids. It may be a grandmother who's having to take care of kids, whatever it is, who are getting just a little bit of food stamps. And when you cut it, inevitably, you're never going to slice the pie right down the line where you get rid of the corruption and you're only helping that. Yeah. So typically, wherever you cut, you're going to end up cutting out some of the waste. That's true. But you're also going to cut people who are really affected deeply. And that's the hard part for me, is I'm fighting about this to say, look, I get the politics behind it. You know, I get it. Nobody wants to cut the waste out and all that more than me. How do you do it in a way? And so I would rather lean to people getting coverage who don't really deserve it. There's another aspect to this as well. And you just jump on in there anytime you want to. There's another aspect of this as well. I think the latest statistics have Alabama's workforce participation rate at third worst in the nation. And you could go back and study this issue, but the bottom line is, a simplification of this is, the amount of people who are residents of Alabama who are in the workforce, and I think it's in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Forgive me for not doing the research off and know it off the top of my head. Yeah. But there's a significant portion of Alabamians who are not working and who are able to work.
They're able to work, yes.
And so we even have, so in Alabama, you have what's called ABOD, which stands for Able Body Without Dependents. And so there's limits on how much SNAP. You can only get SNAP for 90 days, and you have to be showing that you're either training for work or applying for work or going to work. And again, I'm all in favor of that. But cuts like this, the reality is that if people are not going to change and do better without some pain point in their life. Now, you openly talk about your past with addiction and all that. The reality is you don't love somebody out of addiction. I don't care how much a mother goes, yes, I don't want him out on the streets using, so I'm going to provide him money and all that. Well, all you're doing is perpetuating that person's dependency. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is the only way that people, you have to allow people to hit rock bottom and experience that pain point. And of course, if you love that person, it hurts you. Of course you do. But until they suffer enough discomfort, pain, however you want to look at it, they're typically not going to be incentivized to turn their life around. Mm-hmm. And so the snap cuts for those on the side that maybe should be out working instead, I'm hopeful that it's going to be the kick in the pants needed for some of them to go, you know what? I don't want to just sit back and be, even though I can get away with it, I don't want to do that. So I want that to be the kick in the ass they need to get going.
Man, you,
but
you
are, again, you, I'm right back to it's hitting on some others.
Wow, you, that, I mean, you, I mean, I could pull
I've done a lot of thinking about this,
you
brother.
You really have it. I mean, you are a silver lining son of a gun is what you are. Because that is something that I mean, even if one person can change their life by feeling the strain of what the government's doing to them right now and not enabling them, I totally agree with you. And what's the, I think it was a Bible scripture just a couple of weeks ago in church. What was it? You're the theologian here, but what's the story about not throwing the wrath of God on the group of 100 because 10 are doing it right? And then he keeps coming back and says, well, what if 5 are doing it right? Well, what if 4 are doing it right? What if 3? I'm like, well, you stop asking questions. I forget what that is.
That was Abraham.
Yeah.
And where God said, and he starts off, well, God, what if there's 50 righteous people? You don't want to destroy the whole city.
Yeah.
And then he goes, there's an old joke. I don't even know if it's appropriate to say, but here goes. I've crossed all sorts of boundaries with, because I joke about everything.
Yeah.
But he said, that's the first documented story of somebody Jewing somebody down. Because he gets all the way down. Because Abraham, of course, is the father of all Jews. And anyway, that's gets funny. Him down. But you bring up a good point. And it is. And I find my heart and my mind battling sometimes. And I'm like, yep, when I look at it from this perspective, I'm like, yeah, I'm all for snap cuts. Mm-hmm. until I have a face over here and I see somebody who legitimately needs it, who now doesn't have it. And then my heart starts hurting for them. And I'm like, oh, these snap cuts. And I go, I admit to vacillating back and forth at times.
There is, there's a church right down the street. I mean, you can say that anywhere in the state of Alabama, there's always a church down the street, but they do, a food drive. And I only noticed because the line of cars was all the way down the street this morning and I'd never seen it like that. And obviously they're doing a food drive. I think it's through a Klein. I think it is, through the church down there. And obviously I'm used to seeing 10, 15 cars and it must've been 100 cars long.
Yeah.
And maybe people are trying to get ahead of it because I know that tomorrow or today was, I guess, the first day that they're not going to see that check. And I also realize there's some people that are probably taking advantage of the situation. Oh, great. Let's go down there and get some extra stuff because everyone's going to be, they're not going to be asking for any type of paperwork or anything because there's right. going to be too many people. So I certainly understand that. There was a woman in line, and she made a very good point yesterday. She said it was the first time that she had to go through a food pantry line. And they were asking her how that make her feel. And she's like, it's great that we live in a country where there's help like this. And she's, I look forward to the day that I can give back again, that I can turn it around. She said, the minute I have a couple extra pieces of change in my thing, I'll be able to give back to these same people here in order to help people that the situation I'm in and in a major kind of silver lining for people that are going through these things in the first time, maybe that's a little nugget they hold on to that they think, man, do you remember when the government shut down back in 2025 and we had to go through that line at church to get enough food for the week? Well, you know, I see something going on here on the side of the road here, you know, maybe during Salvation Army time or whatever, Sometimes you have to live it and endure it in order to know how it works, so you know how to participate in it the next time it comes around. Maybe that's something that.
Yeah, we saw that coming out from COVID. Heard a lot of that sentiment COVID, because that's when we had such a large group of people who had never had to stand a food line and understood, you know, wrestled with the emotions of it's really hard to ask for help, to feel helpless and relying on somebody else, because we value independence so much in our country. And it's a great quality. The majority of the middle class and upper middle class, we don't know how to live independency, because we attach it typically to moral failures. You know, if somebody needs help, okay, what did you do wrong? What did you fail to do? We tend to focus on assigning blame. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I do. I mean, even with our own children, if our children come and ask us for help, and we go, well, I raised you to do this and to save this much of your paycheck and do all this kind of stuff. I'm an old King of Queens fan. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Doug and Carrie, they didn't have any savings because they both had good jobs, making good income, low mortgage. Well, they had, they just lived life without much plan. And then they had mold. And so it was going to cost, I don't know, $15,000 to fix the mold problem in their house. And so they're like, they couldn't get a loan. They were kind of tapped out. So they called their dad, and the dad came in and looked at him. He's like, what do you mean you need money? Where's your money? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, what do you mean you don't know? You know, I've told you to save. I told you that, you know, and he starts lecturing him. And that's kind of we kind of tend to do that. Like, well, we want to establish first whose fault this is.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And look, I'm not saying that's invalid. Sometimes when we like, because what we don't want to do is just go, oh, you need money? Okay, here's money, without understanding what has led to this, because we don't mind typically bailing people out or just helping people over a tough part in their life. Mm-hmm. But we want to understand how they got there and also help them learn from it, you know.
And are they going to ask you?
So, yeah, so they're not asking you, but the idea is, okay, yeah, I'll help you over this hump, but I don't want you to get back in this position, at least if it's a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, you know, we do that. We do kind of have a judgmental attitude about it, or maybe some people would say, well, it's not judgmental, it's discretion. And again, maybe some of that. But when you're talking about the complexities of SNAP and how we're all broken, and some people's brokenness have led to this situation. You know, we have employees that come in. I have a great employee that we discovered through a temp agency. And lots of times we'll get somebody come in from a temp agency and they're good for a month and then they're terrible. We say, don't come back again. This guy is actually now a supervisor that we got to a temp agency, and he was so good. And I'm like, how did he get reduced to having to go through a temp agency when he obviously has a great work ethic and all the things that I'm looking for in an employee? The bottom line is because he had child support. You know, as soon as he gets a job, it goes, and then we get letters saying $400 a month or $500 a month has to go out for child support. So they gets pulled out of his paycheck.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of working under the table in the past. And so here's a guy who's working his butt off, and I don't know what kind of a parent he is. I don't know, but he obviously made some bad choices along that he's got several children and different baby mamas, and now they're all like, well, you got to step up, and you know, so that's very complex, and it'd be easy to go, well, hey, look, dude, you're the one that laid down with those women, you're the one that took all this on. And again, that's a judgment perspective. But here's a guy who, yeah, like me, made a lot of dumb decisions as a young guy, as I was maturing and growing, like we all have. And now he's at a point of where he's mature and he's ready to step up and be responsible. And that's what he's doing.
There you go.
But it's tough. But anyway, there's just so much of humanity, how complex it gets. It's so difficult. Right now, we don't have time to evaluate who deserves and who doesn't deserve.
No,
we're getting the food. We're getting that. We're putting our heads down and we're just trying to address it, fill in the gaps as best we can. And then we can think through some of the other issues when it's done.
God bless you, brother. Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB, hashtag that bad boy. And you can help them out. We do another show called Bite by Bite, which is even more specific towards, of course, the non-for-profit food banks. And of course, Feeding America comes on right after this on Tony Curry Radio. Thank you, my friend. Till next week.
Yes, sir.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.